give Tiki some credit, even though he picked the Jet Niner game incorrectly. He did caution us that Christian McCaffrey was no lock to play last night. And when it was announced after we signed off that McCaffrey wasn't playing, it was a shock for everybody. But Tiki, who kind of read the tea leaves that maybe he wouldn't be ready to go Monday night against the Jets.
Running backs who don't practice for weeks and then all of a sudden have an Achilles issue, they're not playing.
No, he didn't
play. Especially when you're making $19 million a year.
And you have the talent and expectations that it's going to be a very long season.
Yes, and who cares about week one?
Right, and apparently week two as well, because last night right before the game, I guess it was Adam Schefter, I'm trying to remember, one of those guys, said that it looks like he will not play week two as well.
I'm surprised they didn't put him on the short-term IR.
That's 4 weeks.
Or the beginning of the season IR.
That's 4 weeks, though.
Is it necessary that he plays the first 4 weeks of the season?
Not when you have Jordan Emmett Smith Mason in your backfield.
Right, but they brought something up on the broadcast last night, and I didn't even... I mean, kudos to ESPN in this regard, if just stat-finding this, that Kyle Shanahan has had the most yards, rushing yards, by undrafted free agents, maybe ever.
Yeah, I think they said Kyle and Mike, like the father-son combo.
Right. It was like 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of those guys back in Mike Shanahan's day that would just 1,000. Let's throw Orlando Gary in there, 5,000 yard rusher. Let's throw Mike, whatever that guy's name is. Let's throw 1,000 yard rusher. It didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter
who you put in the system. They were going to rush for 1,000 yards. I mean, which begs the question: why are you paying Christian McCaffrey $19 million?
Yeah, which they chose to do,
right? When you have a guy you could pick up off the street, like Jordan Mason, or just drop back a couple of years ago to when Raheem Mostert was there. Right? His system produces studs.
Yeah, if Breece Hall was wearing a San Francisco 49er jersey last night and Jordan Mason was wearing a New York Jet jersey last night, how different the results would have been for each individual player.
Yeah.
And speaking of Breece Hall, Breece did not have a great game. Obviously, the fumble early on. But Breece made a comment after the game that met my ears. It made my ears perk up because I listen to everybody after the game. And most of the time I listen to players, they give you a lot of cliches, no big deal, no harm, no foul, we got to be better and all that. But Breece said something that I'd like to play for you, and you can tell me and all of us, Ev, this is what he meant, or whoa, how the hell did Breece say that? And please, I know this is going to be difficult because we do have a picture of Tiki in a Breece Hall jersey hanging right behind him right now.
Yes.
Take your love for Breece and put it aside.
Signed to Tiki from your favorite player.
That's right, Breece Hall. Here is Breece after last night's game being asked, hey, what did the Niners do so effectively to slow you down?
They just played harder than us tonight, honestly.
They played harder than us tonight. Now, if you'd like to hear the full context of it, I will give it to you. I want to give you that option.
Right.
But that's the line that caused me to stop listening to everything else he said.
I don't need to hear more because he's right.
Yeah, but how does that happen?
He's just speaking the truth.
But how does that happen?
Because they... long week, long flight. You already heard the excuses that were being thrown out there. I think even Coach Salah said that. Like, it's easy to say it. They're a better team. They are at home. The time adjustment didn't affect them, and they kicked your butt.
But all that's different than playing harder than you.
I don't know. It plays into playing harder. You're just comfortable, and you feel confident in everything that you're doing. The Jets couldn't have felt confident in anything that they were doing, except for that one drive. I guess there were two drives, but they were getting gassed on the defensive side of the ball, and offensively, they were stymied. You could tell that they were trying to establish a run, like trying to set up play action, which they were able to do to an extent, especially on that one touchdown drive. But nothing seemed to work.
But isn't
so you
that
get frustrated?
But isn't that different than playing harder than you?
I think they tie into one another. You just, when you feel lost, it's hard to be all in. You know what I mean? And so, and at the end of the day, even just from the eye test, the 49ers played hard. They really did.
And
the
Jets didn't? It's the first week of the season. How the hell are they not playing hard?
I don't think it's that. I think you're looking too far into it. Like, think about how Fred Warner played. Hey, Fred Warner.
He was all over the place.
He was all over the place. Yeah. He comes in, most people would come in and be like, all right, I just got to get Breece Hall on the ground. He comes in and he's just flying. He's wrapping up and punching at the same time. Like, that's just an above the board, like above the expectation play. And they played every play like
that. Well, shouldn't the Jets They're playing basically a mini Super Bowl in San Francisco against the Niners.
It's not a mini Super Bowl.
Well, it's an opportunity to show that you're on the same level as a team that went to the Super Bowl.
Which they're not.
Well, but they had a chance to prove that. You're right that they're not, but they had a chance to prove that. So to hear,
yeah, but they're just
we didn't
not,
play as hard.
But they're just not.
But the players know that, so they don't play as hard?
No, I don't think they know that. I mean, who knows what they think, but I'm just telling you from an omnipresent standpoint, like the 30,000-foot view, they're just not.
I'm not.
They may want to believe it, but they're not.
I'm not arguing that they are, but it's just weird to hear they didn't play as hard.
As a result, the better team looked better and played harder.
Ugh.
He's right. He just is what it is.
Have you ever said that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
We must have ripped you on the radio that day.
It was in the postseason. It was against the...
No, but you didn't say play hard. You said out-coached.
Nope.
Which, by the way, the Jets were last night, too.
Nope.
What'd you say?
I said we were out-hustled. Played harder.
Can you find the old Tiki quote from that game, please?
It was everything.
It was everything.
Media tends to take the one that matters and is going to create the most arson.
Sure, and it was the coaching one.
So they took the coach thing, but it was everything. I said we were outplayed, we were outhustled, everything.
By the way, Breece, I wish Breece said that last night. If he said that, I'd have a very different opinion. I'd say, you know what, Breece, thank you for saying it. But when it's tried harder, can you play it one more time? What the hell did he say again? Because I'm telling you, and I tried to listen to it again because this is what my ears did last night. Now, granted, it's very late at night.
You just hear it and you're like, what?
I was like, what did he say?
They just played harder than us tonight, honestly.
They just played harder than us tonight. I do want to be fair. Here is Breece's full answer. He said they played harder than us, and he did go on. So here's Breece's, in his entirety, his answer.
They just played harder than us tonight, honestly. I feel like we didn't do a good job of sustaining drives. Obviously, I take that personally on myself. I had a drop in the fumble, so I feel like I cost us two sustained drives there.
True.
We played a great defense that, did their job very well. I feel like part of it was us beating ourselves and not just being on our details, but, part of it, hats off to them. They did a great job.
Yeah, the rest of that answer is like, that's cool. I'm with you on that. It's that they tried harder than us.
Mm-hmm. He should have said smarter.
They were smarter than us.
They played smarter.
Yeah.
Not they were. They played smarter. It's like calling someone stupid or saying you did something stupid.
Right, right.
Because they did. They played smarter. That's what I saw.
Yeah. Well,
there was a play. It was a play. I showed you this with George Kittle, who had to cut off the backside on a run play going...
Jermaine Johnson?
Going the other way. He's going outside right, outside zone right. And George Kittle's on the backside. And he gets beat. Jermaine Johnson beats him across his face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to blow up the play in the backfield. George Kittle just kind of tugs on his jersey a little bit and then fronts him. Like, you front like in a get a rebound? He just fronts him and cuts him off from the running back and the running back goes and picks up 7 yards. Like, that's just a smart play.
Mm.
And so, if I was looking at that on tape, I'd be like, man, he's just playing hard, right? George Kittle just played harder Jermaine Johnson. He just played harder than him. But it was really, he just was smarter than him.
Right.
And so, I get what Breece is saying, but it was more, they played smarter.
Now, we do have the answer on what Tiki said after that playoff game against Carolina, correct?
Yes.
Here is Tiki's...
Home, by the way, home playoff game, the year of 2005, when team of record for Wellington Mara and Bob Tisch.
Okay, this is coming from the New York Times writing the exact quote, so just so we know, all right? Quote from Tiki Barber. I don't think they were overly more physical than anyone else we played. I just think they had a good scheme. I think in some ways we were outcoached.
Yeah.
They had more intensity than we did. They played more consistently than we did, and that's why they won this game. However, it goes on. Other answers by Barber were sprinkled with references to Carolina's scheme and the Giants' inability to make adjustments. In noting that receiver Plaxico Burress had no receptions, the first time it happened since 2000, Burress' rookie season, Barber said, quote, that's a testament to our game plan not being the right one. That was
so the closest thing you... And by the way, the coaching thing, that's fine. The only reason I'm not harping on that is because that's not what Bree said.
Mm-hmm.
The intensity thing was close.
Yeah.
But even that isn't the same, I don't think.
Yeah.
But maybe you meant the same thing, though.
I mean, partly. I mean, think about... Like, if you remember that game, I'm sure some of you do. Like, we had them in third and long, I think at least 4 times. They picked them up, running draws and stuff.
Mm.
screens.
Right, we're not getting this. Let's just try to get like 3 or 5 yards or something like that. It's like 3rd and 18.
Yeah.
And they pick it up. It's just like, what in the hell are we doing?
That was nothing like last night's game, because either the Niners never had a third down because they were marching down the field, or it was like 3rd and 3.
Right. And meanwhile, the biggest mismatch that you could ever have on a team, Plaxico Burress, doesn't even catch a pass.
Right.
So it was frustrating.
No, I get you. I get you. Let's go to Greg in Rumson, New Jersey. What's up, Greg?
How you doing, guys? Big fan, and I appreciate the taking the call. I think just the bottom line is we've been watching Saleh mismanage and lose games every season with this team. It's like the girlfriend that you just know you need to break up with at some point, and you don't want to pull the trigger, maybe because it's the beginning of the summer. Maybe it's not the right season. The timing is not right, but Woody needs to get on the phone with the best coach ever to coach in the NFL. We all know what he's talking about. He will take the job and just get rid of Saleh. Just give Belichick the job for the next 2 seasons, and it's over, and he will win. He will take the job. Bring his girlfriend,
man.
Put her on the, put her, make her a jet,
crew. I just don't know if that's right.
Which part?
Just going to the Belichick model and bringing his system here, bringing his culture here, I think is, because that's an organizational thing, right? You'd be changing your entire organization, not just like what's happening on the field and in the locker room and in the meeting rooms. It'd be the entire organization, and that's daunting. Like just to think about it, it's daunting.
Well,
I'm not defending Robert Saleh. I'm not saying that, you know, he's the guy, you know, put him forward, even though I really like Robert Saleh. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying just to go for the low hanging fruit because it feels like that'll definitely work, I think it's fool's gold.
Well, it's foolish to me, because in January Sean and I had an argument about Robert Saleh. We did. I remember that, where I made the case for why you do have to bring him back for another year.
Yeah.
And I know it was a tough case to make, and a lot of Jet fans were not on my side. And they were more so on the side of him saying, Saleh sucks, get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
If they had done that then, of course, I would go. And I totally get your point about changing everything in the organization. I would have done that because of his resume.
Yeah.
But it is September 10th. It is week one. And as much as I have concerns about this head coach moving forward, it is fiction, it is a fairy tale to talk about firing him a week or even 6 weeks into the season.
I agree.
Thinking you're bringing someone off the couch who can't even get his internet to work in his own home and having him coach your team.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's not real.
And I don't know if that's the right move. Like, if you're firing Robert Saleh, then that means the Aaron Rodgers experiment's over. And you're starting over, and it's not, I guess the defense personnel here is really good, but you're not going defense. You're not like hiring a defensive coach and having a defensive stalwart and be one of these great teams. You're going where the trend is going in the NFL. You're hiring an offensive coach, and it's likely a disciple of the Shanahan system.
Blowing the whole thing up, like you
guys,
said.
And you're blowing everything up.
Which we're
up.
Not doing 1 week into the season.
No, absolutely not.
As much as I was annoyed by last night and still am all these hours later, it's not that bad. It's one freaking game.
Mm-hmm.
I started this show right back at 2 o'clock, rewind on the Odyssey app, by saying, I'm not overreacting to one game. I'm not panicking. I'm just mad about the performance I saw.
Yeah.
We can't go to the extreme of fire the coach, blow it up. They sucked.
The New York Jets suck.
Who is that?
Right.
Saul is calling from Monmouth County. How you doing, Saul?
I can't complain. How are you?
What's up?
You can't, there is no quick fix in the NFL.
No.
I mean, that's really the bottom line here. And you brought in Aaron Rodgers because we all thought Aaron Rodgers was ready for this Jets job. Like, other pieces were there, and Aaron Rodgers was going to be the guy who was going to be able to compete with San Francisco, be able to compete with Kansas City with the best. What we realized last night is that's just not the case.
Well, no. I don't think that's fair, because I don't think Aaron Rodgers couldn't compete with the San Francisco 49ers. I don't agree with that at all. I think the New York Jet defense couldn't compete with the San Francisco 49ers. Because last night on the opening drive, he had a first down that was dropped by Alan Lazard. That's how the first drive ended.
And by the way, you don't know what that drive turns into.
Could have turned into a touchdown drive.
Now, it ended up taking the lead anyways because their defense held to just field goals for the 49ers. So it became 7-6.
Right.
But like you score right away.
It's a different game.
It's a completely different game.
So that's how the first drive ended. On a dropped first down by Alan Lazard, like Keith said, could have gone even further.
Right.
The second drive ended immediately when Breece Hall put the football on the ground.
Yep.
The third drive was a sustained drive in which they converted on three third downs and scored a touchdown. That's how they started the game.
Right.
And even late in the game.
And by the way, that's great off. It's bad offense. Bad offense. Great defense. Great defense. Great offense.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what the MO was. The first quarter of the game is exactly the MO.
It actually did. It felt normal.
Right.
Then in the second half, they had the long drive to make it a 13-point game. It's a two-score game. Defense immediately comes on the field and gives it right up. So I don't walk away last night thinking something's off about Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-mm.
I don't walk away from last night saying Aaron Rodgers can't compete with Brock Purdy. I walked away from last night saying, boy, this defense completely underachieved.
Yeah.
We'll get back to your jet calls coming up, 888-808-1019. We'll mix in the Giants as well as they still try to figure out what the hell happened on Sunday, plus Mets and Yankees from last night. And the great Joe Beningo will join us coming up at 4 o'clock.
I like Joe B.
Joe Beningo coming up at 4. We'll get you ready for your night in baseball a little bit later on in the program. More of your jet calls, plus the controversy following Jordan Mason not lying to the media and then being forced to be mad at the media. We'll get to that coming up, but let's play a quick game of Posted and Toasted here on The Fan.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
I'll read you some old tweets. You tell me who from our WFAN staff may have tweeted this.
Can't wait.
Let's go back to June 28th, 2018.
That was Bart Scott, by the way.
Is that your official guess? He did work at WFAN.
No, I said, can't wait.
I once dated a girl that got jealous months after the fact, mind you, that I tweeted something complimentary about Kim Kardashian. Was that Greg Giannotti, Evan Roberts, Sal Licata, or Keith McPherson?
I'm going to say that's Keith McPherson.
You're wrong.
Oh. By the way, how crazy would it be for someone to get mad about you tweeting something positively about a famous celebrity
years ago,
months after the fact?
Was that you, Sean?
No, but I think I guarantee I know who it is.
Go ahead.
It's Sal Licata.
I can't take it anymore.
How did you know?
Because before I got like close with Sal or friendly with Sal, I used to always watch his tweets before and be like, man, this dude's obsessed with Kim Kardashian.
Well, that may have been the issue then. Oh. It may not have been one tweet that was positive about Kim. Like if you're dating somebody and all your tweets are about, oh, Kim, she's so this and that, I could see how that would cause some rough.
Build that ass first.
I met her, by the way.
Oh, did you?
You know where I met her?
Super Bowl?
Nope. Celebrity Family Feud.
Wow. Unbelievable.
What a time to meet her.
All right. With guess who the other family was?
Ray J's?
Deion Sanders.
Wow.
Yeah. Shador at the end there?
I don't know if
Shador at the time.
That's an education.
His kids were there. I think it was so long ago. I think his kids were probably young.
Man.
But it was fun.
Boy, you have had a life experience for everything.
I really have. It's unbelievable.
Here's post number two. And this one is dedicated to Tiki Barber. It's from May 1st, 2012. It must be weird to date or marry a twin. Wouldn't you also be attracted to the other twins? And wouldn't that at some point be a problem?
Oh.
Was that Evan Roberts, Al Dukes, Greg Giannotti, or Tommy Lugauer?
I'm going to say... That was Tommy.
You're wrong.
Oh, inappropriate relationship advice. That's usually Tommy's.
So this screams an Al Dukes tweet, but I kind of feel like this could be Gio.
You're wrong.
Your first guess had it, Al Dukes.
I like to lick my hands.
By the way, when I saw the tweet, I said I 100% agree with Al. So, Tiki, you were on the right track with me.
I get half credit.
I mean, it kind of makes a lot of sense. Now, as a twin, how would you answer that?
We're completely different.
Is your wife attracted to your twin brother?
No, not at all.
Is Rondé's wife attracted to you?
Not at all. Because your personality makes you look different.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
And you're very different than Rondé.
Very different than Rondé. I mean, like if there's someone who's like amazingly gorgeous,
mm-hmm.
and she's just to see you next Tuesday,
right? I got it.
She's She's not attractive.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
No, I get what you're saying. I think that if I have never dated twins, Lugie, have you dated twins? I could see you having done that.
I wish I have not. I always wanted to be like, honey, I thought it was you.
Like, I feel like we would be in trouble. I do. I feel like I get what you're saying, but what if they're very similar in personality?
They call it, or just identical twins, where Tiki and Ron, they look a little different for twins. When they're identical and they have a close personality.
That's like my boy, Jay Glazer. You know who he just married?
A twin?
Rosie Tennyson. Do you know the Tennyson twins?
No.
Do yourself a favor and Google.
Okay. We've just lost Lugie for the rest of the segment.
One more thing on twins. Faces look alike. Does everything underneath look alike?
I don't. No. No, definitely not.
You know what Tiki's trying to say with that?
My body is different than Rondé's.
Hmm. So Rondé really is a nickel corner.
Tweet number three. November 2nd, 2020. Was that election day? It may have been. Daniel Jones may not be the guy. He may be the guy. The one thing is clear. Joe Judge is the guy. Was that Brandon Tierney, Chris McMonagle, Greg Giannotti, or Sean Morash?
I could tell it was Sean Morash.
Kiss my fat ass!
Because he's getting up in his reaction.
Why'd you do that, Sean? Why'd you have to be so emotional?
His reaction.
I didn't know that one was coming, and that was a terrible tweet by me. I was wrong.
Wow.
Did that make freezing cold?
Yes, it did.
Oh, really did it?
It did?
Yeah, I've had a couple of those, and that one was one they put out. I still get that one sent to my timeline every once in a while.
Oh, that's a famous one. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, I found that on my own. Daniel Jones may not be the guy. He may be the guy. One thing that's clear, Joe Judge is the guy. Sean Marsh. And finally, last tweet. You'll love this one, Tiki. From December 4th, 2019. You know who my favorite football player of all time is? Tiki Barber. Ooh, that's who.
That's me.
Who tweeted that? Was it Brandon Tierney? Sean Morash, Tommy Lugauer, or Evan Roberts? Now, granted, timeline-wise...
When was it again?
It was December of 2019. So BT is your partner. The three of us, like, obviously we knew you, but
So it had to be either Tommy or Sean. I'm going to say that was Sean.
You're wrong.
It was Tommy?
You're wrong.
It was BT?
I'd probably say there were more days I wanted solo doggy.
It was you.
It was Evan Roberts.
What?
That's right. Here's the tweet so you can see it, so you know I'm not making it up. Do you know who my favorite football player of his all time? Tiki Barber, that's who.
What? Tiki Barber here.
Now, obviously, there's lots of questions that you want
answered. I absolutely need questions answered for that.
Very simple answer. And you will get it, and you will say, oh.
Okay.
Listen.
There was extra context to this?
Yes, there was. You were a wonderful football player. I never disliked you as a player.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, I'm a Jet fan. I respected you as
a
player.
You're a Curtis Martin fan.
And probably on the radio at the time doing overnights, I'm sure there were many times I defended you, and I'm sure there were many times I ripped you, obviously. I can't remember every opinion I had, but I'm sure they were like 50-50, and I'm sure I was fair every single time. But the reason I tweeted that is because that was the day it was announced that Steve Cohen was buying the Mets and the Wilpons were selling the team, and Tiki knew it first. And so from that day forward, I had a love for Tiki Barber.
That's my fault for not listening to the date.
Yes.
I should have listened to the date because I would have known.
It was, so apparently a day earlier, Tiki went on the radio with Brandon on the then CBS Sports Network.
Right.
And as a throwaway line said.
It was literally in the last 2 minutes of the show. We were going off air.
Gotcha. He says, I hear the Wilpons are selling the team. Is that how you phrased it?
Basically, and then I said, "If I don't know if it's true, but if it happens, you heard it here first."
So that becomes a story.
It was a Friday, I think.
Was that a Friday?
Or Thursday? I can't remember what day of the week it was, but it was late in the week.
So obviously,
it was like a dump. It was like a news dump.
Yeah. You gave us a news dump. So we all react to it, and I think a lot of people around here became aggressive with Tiki, almost negative.
Mm-hmm.
Joe and I took a very measured approach, which was...
Yeah, Boomer and Craig were all over
them. No, it was Gio at the time, yeah.
Boomer and Gio were all over
them. Yeah, I don't know what they thought, but Joe and I had a very measured opinion, which is, if he's right, we love him. If he's wrong... He's dead to us. We don't know. Like, we weren't killing you yet. We're like, just say this. You better be freaking right. And if he's right, I will always love Tiki Barber. I think I said, quote, I'll build him a statue in my basement.
Little did you know.
And then the next day, or maybe 2 days later, it came out that it was true.
Yeah. No, it was actually a lot longer than that.
Was it?
Yeah, it was more like 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember there was time for Francesa to tell me how wrong I was. Right? I had talked to Will Pons. He said, my grandkids are going to own this team. Right? Type of thing.
Right, right.
And then probably a few days after that, he barges into my studio while we're doing our show. And he says, Teek, I got to tell you, I rarely do this, but you were right.
By the way, here's a headline from that day. How Tiki Barber became part of Mets history. That's literally the headline. Yeah, so that's why I loved you as a football player.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And that loves that. Look, I'm loyal.
I can't believe I got that wrong. Yeah. I just assumed it was football related.
I love you, Tiki. Top five. Shockey's one for me.
Right, Shockey's the man. Let's get back to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. Joe B coming up at 4. Plus, we'll address this Christian McCaffrey controversy, which really got elevated late last night. Ed is calling from Wantagh. What's up, Ed? Ed going once. Ed is gone. We'll go to Jim in New Jersey. How you doing, Jim?
Good, thanks, guys. I was watching that game, and I was wondering, I heard Aikman say that Saleh could stop the run anytime he wanted to. And you look at the way the defensive line was spread out all day long. They were basically blocking themselves. And yeah, the linebackers.
I heard that, too. It's funny, Jim. I heard that, too. And I didn't get it. I didn't know what he was talking about.
And every once in a while, they stack the box and they stop the run. I'm like, why is it taking them? Maybe they thought that they weren't going to run the ball because McCaffrey wasn't there. But it took them almost three quarters to figure out that maybe we should stack the box.
Right, and it really and didn't annoying. Even help. And it really didn't even help after that.
Yeah, it was too late once they fought. Because Saleh even said this in the postgame. He said, well, we did a lot better in the second half. Yeah, it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
It was over by that point. And by the way, when you were stopping him, like the first drive, this was one of those moments in the game that killed me. So Roger scores the touchdown on the free play, Alan Lazard. It's 26-13 when they fall short on the two-point conversion.
I didn't love that call.
The play call.
Right.
Completely agree with you. Why hand it off to Breece Hall, who they were stopping all night?
It comes back to the third and fourth and one situation that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Without a mobile quarterback, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Really stuck.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is now, at this point in his career, he's old Tom Brady, where he's not going to move.
Yeah.
Now, back in the day, Aaron Rodgers had every skill set, including being able to move the pocket and being able to use his legs. But I think we saw Aaron Rodgers start to lose confidence in his legs. Go back to that NFC Championship game a couple years ago when he had that opportunity to run for a touchdown. Remember that?
Yes. And they settled for the field goal.
That's right. Which turned out to be a big mistake.
Right. And never got another shot.
So after that touchdown and the failed two-point conversion, it's 26-13. Defense gets off the field. Jets are in the game. First play, they stop Jordan Mason. Like, no gain. Second and 10. Next play was the fake toss. Jawan Jennings is wide open. And then they threw the football down the field. Kyle Juszczyk made a play. Deebo Samuel made a play. So great. You're stopping the run. Big deal. When you're giving up 15 and 25-yard chunk plays. Which is exactly what happened.
Right.
So what, you want a medal for stopping the run late third quarter?
Yeah, when it didn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Let's go to Rocco in the Bronx. Hey, Rocco.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on. Big fan.
Appreciate it. What's up, man?
I just want to talk about Rob Saleh. You know, coming into last night, expectations all-time high for this team. And, you know, I thought the offense looked well. I thought Aaron played well. I just think that Kyle Shanahan ran circles around them. Ran around the entire staff, shut them down, controlled the clock, kept Aaron off the field. I just think that Rob's over his head, and I don't know at this point. I don't know if we're a Super Bowl team right now.
I don't know if he's over his head, because I think he had success as a coordinator. He's been a head coach now for this going into his fourth year. He's. I don't think he's overwhelmed by the moment. I think last night he just had a buzzsaw of better team. And previous seasons, he's had a bad quarterback issue.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, his defense was top five.
Well, and they also put together really good game plans against really good offenses. They got off to a bad start against Kansas City. But think about how well they played in the second half of that
100%.
Game.
100%. So I can't say he's in over his head. I think the overreaction from week one, regardless of the team circumstance, it's always extraordinarily heightened. Everybody's going to come to their mean in some part. Man, now maybe San Francisco is just playing to theirs, which is elite, which is obvious because they've been that way for the last couple of years. But I don't believe that Robert Saleh is in over his head. I think he just got beat by a much better team.
Where he can't be in over his head is as a defensive-minded coach. His defensive game plans have never been the in-over-his-head portion of him as a head coach. There have been other aspects of his coaching over the last few years in which you'd say, oh, he's in over his head, but not his defensive game planning.
No.
And that was their issue last night. Look, you can take away the positive that Aaron Rodgers looked good, because I thought he did look good. You can absolutely take that positive away, because that is an absolute true statement, in my opinion.
Yep.
But defensively, I do agree that he got outcoached by Kyle Shanahan. He wouldn't be the first or the fifth, because Kyle's right. done that to a lot of people.
Right.
But the story on why they lost the game was that the supposed strength of the team got bullied.
Right.
And that would be the word I would use. They got bullied all over the field by, yes, Tiki, a more talented team.
Yeah, and sometimes you just got to accept that. And since it's week one, you just say, we got to get better.
Now, period. I just said something that I uttered a statement. I said, by a more talented team. I have to take my comeuppance, because on Friday, we took a phone call from a gentleman who was making the point that the Niners were a far more talented team than the New York Jets. And I got deeply offended by this man, and I yelled at him, and I may have hung up on him. Well, he's back because he wants the blood, and that's fine. He should get that blood. Matt, you like that intro?
Yes, I love the warm-up there. I love
that's
it.
That's Matt
been thank you,
in Woldwick. Go ahead, Matt.
What's up, Matt?
Well, listen, hear me out. I do think the Jets have a solid team. I'm not here to, like, you know, rip. I was a little bit nervous going into the game. But just looking at the rosters, you know, and on the sideline, the coaching staff, obviously I know a lot about the Niners coaching staff. But, like, clearly, like, they're just a next notch above the Jets. I do think the Jets can get there. But I also think that, like, Jets fans and football fans just got to just kind of take it slow a little bit and realize that you have the talent, but just not quite there yet. You got to play it out. And then, like, just one more thing quick about the quarterbacks. You know, listen, Rodgers can zip the ball like no one we've seen before. But quite honestly, Purdy's throw that Ayuk dropped, was that a product of the offense or, like, talent? You know what I mean?
Right. So, like, that was a perfect throw,
Perfect throw. And just one quick thing for Tiki with the illegal procedures, and I wanted to get to this last week.
Yeah.
The NFL is talking about safety, right? Like, they want to keep their quarterbacks healthy. But they do know that if they have the lineman up a full yard or half a yard, yeah. that's giving the D lineman an advantage. So I don't understand why they're doing this penalty.
Yeah.
And now you have two quarterbacks in Jets uniforms that seen ghosts.
Right, Matt. I'll tell you why this happens. And we see this every couple of years with whatever the point of emphasis is. I'm putting that in quotes. It's the point of emphasis. That's how they define it. So you remember when pass interference became a point of emphasis? Mm-hmm. We saw a massive uptick in PI calls. A couple of years ago, we saw the hits on the quarterback become a point of emphasis. You saw a massive uptick in roughing the passers. Remember when they did the crown of the head thing?
Yeah.
And that was it wasn't just defenders. It was running backs. Like running backs who put their heads down and went into contact were getting penalties. It was a point of emphasis. When was the last time you saw a running back crown of helmet penalty? You don't see it anymore.
Right.
So the NFL spent the entire offseason emphasizing this illegal formation with the tackle and guards, because they've been guards that have been called for this as well, as crazy as that may sound, that aren't on the line of scrimmage. And so the first few weeks of the season, you're going to see the examples. I mean, I'm doing Baltimore next week, Baltimore against the Raiders. Ronnie Staley, the tackle for the Ravens.
He got called for a ton of them last week.
He got called for three.
Yeah.
Three of them. And they have GPS, and I heard John Hallbauer's comments afterwards. He's like, we have GPS tracking. If you go look at it, he's exactly where he's supposed to be, but he stands upright when he's in a pass situation, so his shoulders aren't close to the guards. So it looks like he's in the backfield. He's just a big dude. And so it's because it's a point of emphasis that it gets called so many times in week one.
Yeah, so by week three, they'll never call it again.
You're right. You'll stop hearing it. And it'll say, oh, look, we fixed it because we emphasized it. Oh, you just stop calling.
Yeah, basically. When we come back, we'll get the opinion of our king of Jet fans, Joe Beningo. How does he feel after the New York Jets got destroyed by the San Francisco 49ers?
Thank God for drugs.